Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Matt Schechner, the chairman of Advertising Week, and this is a privilege to have a conversation with Andrew, and then we're going to slide right into a second conversation. So we've got you for about a half hour, I think. Okay. Andrew, let's get right into it. Andrew Casale is the founder, president, CEO of Index Exchange, and they are leading the industry in so many important areas and really leading the fight against made for advertising content, which is a real scourge. Is that, yeah. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, it is.
But what I want to start with you is when we were chatting earlier, we talked about, you know, how do you get into this? What's your academic background? And you didn't go to school. You started this when you were 12, 13 years old. Let's talk about that.
I went to the University of Ad Tech, believe it or not, back in the late 90s. No plan at all to find myself in this wonderful world that I have yet to leave. I love it too much. But back then, on a very early internet, I built very, very simple, humble websites. And the way I found my way into ad tech was a few of them got pretty big and popular. And early ad tech, the salespeople that we also now employ at the company, would knock on my door and say, hey, here's an ad tag. We want to put advertising on your website and pay you money. And, you know, 12, 13-year-old Andrew got pretty excited. But yeah, our founding story and my origin story is very random. It's pretty atypical.
I'm thinking of the Tom Hanks movie, Big.
Very similar.
There was a landmark piece that you wrote about really the same subject when you peel a couple of layers off the onion about 10 years ago.
Yes.
And I know you just published sort of the, in a sense, a successor
yes.
to that piece. Let's go back 10 years, talk about that. And then I want to jump to the present.
Yeah. So like MFA is a very modern supply chain invasive issue in programmatic today. 10 years ago, we had a different issue that was also very similar in that the early programmatic ecosystem and the early exchanges were riddled with what we call blatantly ad fraud. Basically, websites that were littered with traffic. In today's MFA variant, the traffic is human. 10 years ago, the traffic was blatant bots. It was invalid, bot-riddled websites, offering dubious value, obviously, very, very poor content, and siphoning away ad budgets from marketers, from the marketing ecosystem, but more importantly, from publishers. And so as the industry battled with that, we certainly saw the emergence of new categories of company that, you know, joined the fight, verification companies, companies like Human or IS or DV. But at the same time, what we prescribed was a very different approach to the problem, which I coined as just, let's follow the money, which is you can use technology to fight technology to find bots in a better way. Where marketers can start to recognize that there are literal companies who are being paid from their budgets. And if we can expose the names of these companies, we can make it very clear if you're buying from, you know, The Telegraph or The New York Times or Disney, or if you're buying from numbered corporations that you have never heard of that you probably shouldn't be. And on the back of that, the industry actually did something. We created a standard that made it very transparent to know where your money was going. And I think that, coupled with some of the technology innovations, led to the complete eradication of ad fraud in the mid-2000s. And so I think a very similar approach can actually be taken today with MFA.
Okay, so let's stay right where we are now, because this is not really a brand-led problem or an agency-led problem. This is an ad tech problem, and it's a solvable
yes.
problem. Let's talk about the solvability, and that you're playing in a space where Index Exchange is operating under sort of one set of, I won't call it rules, I won't call it morals, let's call it ethics.
Sure.
Let's call it that. And a lot of other players, so-called legitimate companies, playing by a completely different set of rules.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a very solvable problem. And I think it's also a little bit of ignorance is leading to it persisting far beyond the duration of time that it should. So what we hear a lot in market is cutting MFA publishers, and I really say publishers in air brackets because these are really scaled up traffic arbitrage companies who are simply gaming our ecosystem for profit. But cutting these quote unquote publishers is challenging because it means cutting revenue. And our response to that as a company that has done this already is in our ecosystem, what happens when you remove something synthetic that is designed to siphon dollars away from publishers is budgets simply redirect to the publishers that remain that really are worthy of them. And so as far as Index is concerned, there is no revenue implication. If you cut this out of the ecosystem, the money will go where it belongs. Right. And so I think number one of the reasons why people aren't doing it is really just false assumptive reasons that there's a revenue implication. With respect to how to do it though, what I am really advocating for is for us to use standards that now exist that didn't exist 10 years ago. And the standard that I cited in my piece that you referenced is a standard called sellers.json, which is a standard that every single exchange in the marketplace now supports, which transparently exposes the customers that they transact on behalf of and who they pay. So it's a little bit technical, it's a little bit weedy, but if you type in any exchange's name, indexexchange.com, for instance, or any other one, and you go /sellers.json, you can literally see every single company that we pay. And you can see every single company every other exchange pays. If you're a marketer, if you're buying media, each node in those files, you can designate whether or not is worthy of your budgets. And so if you think of the traditional way media has historically been planned, it was really hard for a publisher to earn their way onto a media plan, to have enough credibility to be worthy of a brand's budget. Imagine that now manifesting in the form of a list, basically a safe list of nodes that you trust your spend to go toward. That's what I am advocating. That's the solution that I'm advocating to completely eradicate this problem, because there's about 50 some odd companies that are perpetuating the vast majority of MFA. Nobody knows who these companies are. They've never heard of their names. They will never make it on any marketer's lists. And by pivoting to a follow your money strategy, we can effectively eradicate this just as we did ad fraud 10 years ago. And so the alternative strategy that's being invoked today that is not working is not that. The alternative strategy that's being invoked today is just blocking domains. So what marketers are doing when they find this problem, or agencies find this problem, is they'll block the MFA domains of today. So you'll see a big article break in a publication, a bunch of domains are exposed, they're on block lists, and everyone thinks problem solved. The thing is, the companies that are doing this know that that's how the industry responds. And so the next day they buy 100 new domains and they're back in action. That's where if you pivot away from blocking domains to actually just following where your money is going, you can eliminate the problem at its root. And you can borrow standards that we already have to do this.
So I'm pretty familiar with some of the key agenda items, tech-driven, of groups like the World Federation of Advertisers, which is actually convening this week.
They are.
Yeah, friends of ours in Toronto, your hometown.
Randomly.
looking at issues like cross-screen measurement as a priority.
Yes.
Certainly a lot around trust and privacy, as I should say, on this side of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Talk about where MFA is on the list of priorities there for groups like the WFA, IAB around the world, ANA back in the States, and other groups, ISBA over here. Where is it on their agenda?
I want to say it's getting pretty high. I can't imagine it's number one on the list, but it's a lot higher than it would have been a year ago. Like for us as a company, we're a sell-side company. Our customer is media companies, legitimate publishers, not traffic arbitrage shops. But as a sell-side company, what I found quite curious, especially this year and even in the past 3 to 4 months, is we've had a tremendous amount of inbound from marketers who are trying to understand what's going on. And we've played the role of the educator to a client set that is not our direct client. And the general impression I have from marketers at this stage is that they're frankly mad as hell. They're recognizing that they've been duped, that they've been acquiring synthetic media that has not been driving real value, and they want it to stop. And so I would hope, you know, it might not be number one on the list of someone like a WFA, but I would hope it's pretty high right now. That's the impression I get.
And this is a genuine, not a perceived threat to
very
the
real.
Whole digital ecosystem.
Yeah. In the vein of mad as hell, and the reason why I am effectively pleading with, frankly, my competitors and everybody on the sell side to eliminate these companies from their platforms, my concern is if we do not meet mad as hell with a good response, marketers will just leave the ecosystem. To them, it's another example of a problem with the open web or programmatic that is a distraction that is creating, risk for their brands. The perception today is it's never been easier to move your money somewhere else. Maybe the money will move into streaming, maybe it'll move into big walled gardens, but if it moves out of the open web, it is going to be very, very impactful to publishing at large, which is concerning for us in supporting our customers. And so I think we have to clean up our act before people just literally start moving their budget out of this entire ecosystem. And so for anybody that is trying to benefit from short-term dollars, you're potentially mortgaging the entire future of our channel.
But these short-termers, logic says there are companies, bad actors, they're not going to stop unless someone kind of makes them. What's your take on that?
I think we should go there. I think marketers should start demanding clawbacks. I think they should ask for their money back. If somebody spent $1 million on MFA and can prove it with a log, I think they should start demanding budgets back because they were duped. And I think it might take something like that to get to a point where everybody cleans up their act. I do hope that peers of ours that might philosophically see the world in a similar way from a long-term perspective will follow suit and proactively make changes today in advance of that. But we also saw 10 years ago with ad fraud, when it hit absolute fever pitch, one of the additional things that started, especially as people could follow the money, is marketers started to request refunds. And so we might also have to see some of that pressure come from the buy side, and I would be all for it. Dollars spent in these venues is wasted dollars. I think the marketers have a lot more power in this that they can wield, and I would certainly advocate for.
And tremendous implications for publishers as well,
yes,
who are living in a world where one little tweak from Apple or, Meta turns their world upside down.
Yes. It has never been harder to be a publisher than today. And to some degree, they are getting it from all ends. On one hand, from a traffic algorithmic perspective, they never know one algorithm change to the next from Google or Facebook, whether or not their traffic will be reliable tomorrow. A lot of publishers are recognizing they have to create destinations of their own so the consumers come to them. But that is a long-term strategy that's not going to change overnight. Signal loss on the open web is damaging the ability for addressable budgets to make their way to publishers. So budgets are shrinking. Plus, they're trying to fight the walled gardens, which are massive technology monoliths. It's every single thing at once simultaneously. This is yet another attack whereby you have companies, traffic arbitrage companies, who are just swelling supply, effectively diluting the value of publishing, challenging the economics of publishers, and also selling at really low CPMs, creating the perception of value because these are humans viewing these ads. The ads are viewable, even though they're viewable for a brief moment in time in a very, very poor environment. But this is a massively dilutive impact on the publishing ecosystem. And it's just yet another example in a long list of examples that are currently affecting publishers of today.
Okay, so now I've got that big image in my head. So that made me just think of a genie in a bottle. And a genie comes out of the bottle and grants you 3 wishes. And you want to use them to eradicate or dramatically curtail the impact of MFA on our industry. What are the 3 wishes or 3 directives that you would hand down?
That's a fun one. I'll keep it on point, not to have too much fun with it, but 3 wishes. 1, every single one of my peers, every single exchange cuts every MFA traffic arbitrage publisher today, terminates their contracts and kicks them out of their platforms. Wish 2, every marketer develops lists of their own of publishers who are deserving of their budgets and requires going forward in any environment where they're buying media that if it's not on their list, the money should be given back to them because it was ill spent. And then every single publisher does the same thing. Publishers can also audit us. Publishers can also audit their exchange partners. Publishers can have a say over whether or not they want their brands transacting alongside something that is effectively running the value of their media down to nothing. And so those are my 3 wishes.
And I will give a 4th wish, and that's that we do this again a year from now.
Amazing.
All right. Andrew Casale, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website, europe.advertisingweek.com, for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.